First John chapter 2, and we'll read from 18 to 27. And I'm going to be reading from the NIV version today. So, verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is this liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one denies the Son and has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You bring us comfort and hope, and you are our Lord, our God. We thank you for blessing us and looking after us, even when we are disobedient. I pray that you will bless Pastor Paul's message today and allow us to have an open heart and listening ears to your word. To have your word take root within us as we build together as a body of Christ. To reach those who have not heard your word and administer with your will and guidance. I'd also like to pray for child minding. I'd like to pray for all the little children in that class. And all this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. I was going to take off my jacket and my tie and all that, but I feel kind of cold in the sanctuary. It's not that, you know, you guys are not warm. You guys are very warm. It's just somehow sitting by the window, I feel kind of cold. So anyway, I keep my jacket on. It's good to share the Word of God with you this morning. Now, in recent years, there are many fake brand name products on the market, right? Brand names such as Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Coach, whatever you name it, etc., etc. Now, these products have been, I guess, made into replicas. And these fake products are on the market, especially in Southeast Asia and in China. And so when you go there to visit and maybe you think you want to buy some souvenirs or some merchandise home, you better be careful, right? Because you may buy some fake products instead of the authentic ones. Now, I have got a couple of slides here to test if you have really that shrewdness discernment to see if the following products are, you know, fake or authentic. By the way, can you see them? I hope you can see them. They are Louis Vuitton bags, all right? Very expensive handbags. I don't know who has got one at home. Have you got one at home? LV bags? Louis Vuitton bags? No? Okay. Now, I want to ask you, which one is authentic? Which one is fake? The one on the left or the one on the right? So, who says the one on the left is authentic? Well, there are some hands. Are the ones on the right authentic? Well, more people. Now, voila. Ah, okay. So, now, another one, okay? So, there are Louis Vuitton bags too. So, authentic on the left. Authentic on the right. A few hands this time. Well, maybe you guys learned, huh? Ah, okay. So, you see, when you go visiting these places in Southeast Asia and in China, you better watch out, right? Otherwise, you spend your money for nothing. Anyway, apart from these are brand name products that have been made into, you know, replicas. As you guys know, if you pay attention to news coming out of Asia, you know, many food products, you know, daily necessity products are fake too, right? And so you need to be careful, right? For example, gutter oil, right? Yeah, if you visit Taiwan, you may wonder, well, have I eaten anything that's cooked in gutter oil, right? Yeah, and now, as a matter of fact, apart from all these, you know, brand name products, daily necessity products, I think you know too, there are fake Christianity as well, right? Yeah, there are fake Christian groups as well. Now, I don't know if you have heard of this guy. He's, you know, before your time, before many of your time. Now, his name is David Koresh. He and his group are called or were called the branch of the Davidians. They used to live in Waco, Texas, right? And David Koresh claimed to be a type of Christ. Okay? He claimed to be a representative of Christ, misleading people. And they lived on this camp in Waco, Texas. And in the end, the American authorities went in to rescue people because many people were suffering. And in the end, they had to, you know, bomb the place. They had to fire on the place in order to rescue people. And in the crossfire, David Koresh was killed. Now, you know, heresy, cult, does not really begin in this generation. Now, way back in the times of John, it already appeared, right? And that's why the Apostle John wrote 1 John to combat heresy, to combat fake Christianity, in order to help Christians to really discern, to distinguish what is truth, what is not truth, so that they would not buy into that kind of you know, fake Christian faith. They would not be misled. Now, in this morning's passage, chapter 2, verse 18, the Apostle John said this, "Dear children, this is the last hour." The term children is an endearment, right, referring to all the believers. In the New Testament, whenever you see this term, the last hour or the last times, it refers to the last period of time in human history. It refers to the era of Christianity. The Bible describes the entire period of the Christian church from the time Christ came into this world to the time he died on the cross for our sins, and then he was raised from the dead on the third day, and until the time he comes back. The Bible describes this period of time as the last hour, as the last times. And so in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 2, the author says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son." In these last days. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, Peter said, "He was chosen," meaning Christ, "was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." And so the last times or the last hour does not just refer to the time shortly before Jesus Christ returns. It refers to the time when Jesus Christ first came into the world, to the time when he will come back again. And so the last time or the last hour does not begin now. It began, some time ago, a long time ago. But definitely the generation that we belong to today is part of the last time, the end time. Now, when will this end time end? When will it come to an end? In other words, when will Jesus Christ come back again? The Bible tells us clearly, nobody knows. Only God the Father knows. But as we look at the end times, there is one characteristic which is so obvious, and that is the activity of the Antichrist keeps on increasing, is ever increasing. And so that's why John says, in chapter 2, verse 18, he says, "Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour." Now, what does John mean by the Antichrist? Well, simply put, the Antichrist is somebody or anybody who is opposed to Jesus Christ, who is opposed to what Jesus Christ stands for. And the Bible clearly tells us that there will come a time when this Antichrist arises. And he will represent the generations of Antichrists to be opposing Jesus Christ, to fight against Jesus Christ. When will that person come? We don't know, but we know that the activities of the Antichrist are, ongoing and ever increasing. The Antichrist is a very frightening person. He will destroy Christians. He will destroy the world. He will exalt himself. He will regard himself as God. He will resist God and fight against God. And his sole purpose is to, as John puts it in verse 26 in this morning's passage, to deceive people, to trick people, to cause people to leave their faith, to forsake their relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the term Antichrist is a specific term used only by the Apostle John. And John uses this term in 1 John, in 2 John, altogether five times. For example, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, he uses it twice. And then in chapter 2, verse 22, he uses it once. And then chapter 4, verse 3, another. And then the last time is in 2 John, verse 7. Altogether five times. Now, there are other descriptions in the Bible of this Antichrist. For example, in the book of Daniel, the Antichrist is described as the abominable of destruction. And also in the Gospels, he is described as the false Christ. And in the second book of Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul calls him the man of lawlessness or the son of destruction. Now, the term Antichrist is not just used to describe that particular person who is to come, but the term Antichrist is used to mean false teachers who came out of the church, as mentioned in chapter 2, verse 19. These teachers, they know a little bit about the truth, but they don't really support and receive the truth. In other words, they don't really accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And their main purpose is to spread heresy, is proclaim false truth, to destroy the church, to destroy believers' faith in Jesus Christ. In John's day, these people did not acknowledge that Jesus Christ or Christ became Jesus. And so, you know, some people may think, well, yeah, it's okay if they did not accept Christ as Jesus. In other words, you know, Christ did not become man. They still believe in God, right? But that is a fallacy. That is wrong, as the Apostle John pointed out. If they do not accept Jesus, in other words, they deny the Father as well. They do not recognize the Father, acknowledge the Father as well. And so, what was the heresy that was plaguing the church in John's day? Well, in the first century, the Christian church was seriously affected by the Greek thought, by the Greek culture. And at that time, there was this popular philosophy called Platonism, or we call it dualism. What is dualism? Dualism is, on the one hand, people who subscribe to this believe that God is holy, God is transcendent, God is over everything, God will never come into contact with the material world that we know. And on the other hand, they believe that man live in the material world. Man is made of matter. Matter is evil. Matter is sinful. And so this kind of dualism can never accept that Christ becomes a man. How can a holy God, how can a transcendent God become this evil matter, become this sinful matter? Now, this kind of denial of Christ becoming man is really a very severe attack on the core belief of Christianity. Just think about it. If Christ did not become incarnate, in other words, if Christ had not become a man, so who died on the cross? Who died on the cross? If the Son of God did not die for the sin of the world. In other words, everybody who accepted Jesus Christ, who believed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, had received no forgiveness of sins, had received no eternal life. So what did they believe in? Now you see, this is a very serious matter. Now this kind of Platonism or dualism really affected believers in John's time. And they really shook, you know, that kind of philosophy really shook the faith of believers in John's day. And no wonder John rebuked and refuted the heresy that they tried to spread. And so in verse 22 of today's passage, John says, "Who is the liar? Is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is the Antichrist, he denies the Father and the Son. And so, as we think about, you know, what heresy is all about, I suppose, you know, you may have had somebody come to your door, knocking on your door before, or you may have seen people standing in corners before. So how can we tell? It's heresy. They are spreading the untruth. How can we tell that? Well, the basic, the most fundamental thing is, who is Jesus to them? You know, you can ask them the very first question, who is Jesus? And if they tell you something that is so different from what we believe in, what do we believe in? We believe that Jesus is incarnate. He has become man. He is fully God and fully man. He lived in our midst. He died on the cross for our sins. He was raised on the third day from the dead. Now he is ascended to heaven. He is coming back. If people cannot tell you that, if they tell you, oh, Jesus is just a person, oh, Jesus is just a philosopher, oh, Jesus is created, then you know this is heresy. This is wrong. And so, you know, before the 20th century, most heresies came out of America, the United States of America. The most well-known ones are what? Mormons, right? And the JWs, Jehovah's Witnesses. If you talk to a Mormon, who is Jesus? He will tell you, Jesus is created. He's just one of the gods. Now that's heresy. And if you ask a JW, Jehovah's Witness, who is Jesus? He will tell you, Jesus formerly is the Archangel Michael. Now that is fallacy. That is heresy. That is wrong, right? Now before the 20th century, heresies came out of the land of America, the United States. But since the 20th century, heresies came out of Asia, came out of China too, right? For example, in South Korea, there is this well-known, quite popular too, a heresy cult. It's called the Unification Church. This is the founder of that cult, the Reverend Sun Myung Moon. He claimed to be a representative of Jesus Christ. His wife is running the show today. And then in China, there is this woman. She is the founder of Eastern Lightning, right? Yeah, she claims to be the last Christ on earth. Now, that's heresy, right? That's fallacy. Now, what is their purpose? Their purpose, as John mentions in chapter 2, verse 26, it is to deceive people, to trick people to leave Christianity, to give up their relationship with Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ was on earth, he already prophesied this would happen, right? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, Jesus Christ says, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah or I am the Christ, and will deceive many." Now, so how can we beware? How can we beware of this kind of heresy? How can we really have this certainty of a life of faith? Well, on the one hand, we need to depend on the Word of God, right? On the other hand, we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse 21 in today's passage, the Apostle John said, "You guys have already known the truth. You guys have already known what is the truth. And so, if you keep that in your life, in your heart, you will be okay." And so what is that truth? What is that the John's readers have heard before. Well, that is, Jesus Christ came as a man. He died on the cross to save sinners from sin. And that's what John writes about in his first chapter, in the first chapter of his letter, verse 1 to 3. Now these three verses are very important because they clearly spell out what Christianity is all about, who Jesus Christ is. So I would ask you to read together with me, all right? Now, it's a bit long, but please be patient. As you read, try to understand what John is trying to say. He writes this to combat heresy, to refute the untruth, to deny the fallacy about Jesus Christ. All right? So let us read it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, by writing this, the Apostle John clearly states that Christ is incarnate. He is fully God. He is fully human. He came into this world. The apostles and many others have seen him, have heard him, have even touched him. And you remember after Jesus Christ's resurrection, he appeared to the apostles and his hands bore the nail-piercing marks, right? And so Jesus Christ is real. And so John is saying, whoever believes in Jesus Christ can have this eternal life, can have this everlasting relationship with him. He's a real person. We can communicate with him. And so John says this in verse 24 in today's passage. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. So this is the way we can have certainty of a life of faith. You know, when we are faced with heresy, when we are faced with fallacy, when we don't seem to be able to distinguish what is true, what is fake, what is authentic, what is fake, remember this. If anybody denies Jesus Christ is incarnate, denies Jesus Christ has become man, he is a fake. And so we need to understand the Word of God. We really need to, if I may use the term, hit the Bible, right? Really understand it so that we know we have this weapon to defend our faith. And so I encourage you to go to Sunday school. If you haven't really attended any Sunday school yet, go to Sunday school. I hope that in your fellowship, there are times for Bible study to really learn about the Word of God. And I pray that you will pray for your Sunday school teachers. You will pray for your pastors. You will pray for those who are responsible for teaching the Bible so that they know how to proclaim the truth, so that they know how to teach according to the Bible. Now, apart from the Word of God, the Apostle John says there is still the anointing. Who is the anointing? What is the anointing? In verse 20, he says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. The anointing refers to the Holy Spirit, right? Everybody who believes in Jesus Christ, who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, have received this anointing, have received the Holy Spirit. And in verse 27, John says, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, as his anointing teaches you about all things. Now, based on this, do we still need the pastor? Do we still need Bible teachers? Well, definitely yes. And when we study the Old Testament, God raised Moses to teach his law. God raised many prophets to proclaim his word. And when the Israelites returned from their exile, from their captivity in Babylon, God used the scribe, the Bible copier, copyist, Ezra, to teach the exiled people about the law of God again. Sure, even though we may have the Holy Spirit, we still need a Bible teacher. We still need the pastor to teach us the word of God. As a matter of fact, you know, the Apostle Paul says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, right? The pastor and the teacher are gifts by the Holy Spirit to the church. And when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he is the Spirit of truth. And when the pastor or the teacher teaches us the word of God, the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth, will help us understand the truth so that we can really live it out and apply it to our everyday lives. And so we still need the pastor and the Bible teacher, but they need to work in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, under the guidance and the working of the Holy Spirit. So when we have the Word of God, when we have the Holy Spirit in us, then we'll be assured, we'll be sure that we'll be able to combat heresy. We'll be able to be victorious over heresy. And so, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you have really kept what you heard from the beginning in your heart. What is filling your heart at this moment? Is it some internet message, some Facebook message, some Twitter message, some Tumblr message? Is it message about, you know, where you can get the best deal in town? What kind of message is in your heart this morning? I hope that in your heart this morning, there is the Word of God. The Word of God displaces all this information. I'm not saying that this information is not important. I'm not saying that this information is not useful. What I'm saying is, if we just focus on, you know, this kind of information at the expense of God's Word, then there is something wrong. And so, I pray and hope that all of us will have this desire, this yearning for the Word of God, to really understand it, not just in order to combat heresy, but really in order to grow in Christ, to really have this strong relationship with the Lord, just in case heresy comes to us, we know how to combat it. We know how to refute it. We know how to be victorious, because our Lord Jesus Christ is true. He's fully God. He's fully human. He's incarnate. He once lived here on earth, and he is coming back again. And the song we sang just now, "Because He Lives," right, is a wonderful song. So I'm going to ask the worship team to sing it one more time.